You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for only £12 for our print and online editions, plus get 6 months of digital access free to The Telegraph. Go to spectator.co.uk/telegraph.
Hello and welcome to the Saturday edition of Coffee House Shots. I'm Cindy Yu and today I'm joined by Katie Pauls and James. Not our usual James, it's James Johnson this time, former pollster at Number 10 and co-founder of JL Partners, the polling firm. Now, Katie, we're here today to discuss your brilliant column in The Telegraph this week, asking, will Rishi's rise continue all the way to Number 10? What's a potential problem that you think might be coming down the road for him?
Well, I think there are a few problems. They're not problems I think the Chancellor would necessarily identify. I mean, immediately, there's no vacancy right now. Boris Johnson is Prime Minister, and I don't think, despite whisperings and a few pieces suggesting that lots of people don't think he'll stick it out, I still think the most likely scenario is Boris Johnson, you know, is, you know, full term and probably goes for a second one. But no matter when Boris Johnson leaves his post in whatever circumstances, clearly the Tories are at some point going to need a new leader. And I think that it's fair to say that Rishi Sunak is seen as a prime minister in waiting. That feels quite far removed if you think back to the Tory leadership contest, which wasn't so long ago, even if a lot has happened between that and then, such as a global pandemic. But Rishi Sunak wasn't really seen as a contender, but his fast acceleration to Chancellor, and he is, and James will probably have more specifics on this, but appears to be the most popular Conservative politician in the country, perhaps the most popular politician. And I think the thing about his meteoric rise, if you want to call it that, it's a lot of Tory MPs look at it and they are puzzled by it. Now, it's not because they don't like Rishi Sunak. As someone who's spent enough days calling around trying to get someone to, no offence, Rishi, but trying to get someone to be critical of the Chancellor in the terms of good copy, you know, to kind of find out if there is problems behind the scenes, it's a fairly fruitless activity. Everybody just wants to tell you how much they love Rishi Sunak. But the reason I think it puzzles people is because you have a situation where if you look at the factors in the landscape we're in, you know, a mass recession, looming record unemployment, how can a Tory Chancellor stay popular in all those? So I think there is a sense that he has risen to popularity very quickly and he could lose it quite quickly. Now, I think that he has also shown, however, in the crisis, an ability to adapt to situations. The schemes that the Treasury have put out do, I would say, broadly speaking, appear to have been less gaffe-prone and problematic than lots of schemes by other departments or plans that they had to put in place. But I think if we're thinking long term, there's still lots of hurdles, you know, such as just getting through the next 6 months, and then also the fact that Rishi Sunak somehow, providing, you know, we get to a slightly better place, has to work out a plan to balance the books, which I think is probably going to be the most painful part of all of this.
James, can you talk us through a little bit about how popular Rishi Sunak is and whether or not you think that this popularity is built on sand?
Yeah, so he's definitely very popular. The last poll that we did on this, you know, basically asked everybody how well or badly they thought various members of the cabinet were, and it was pretty much bleak reading for the whole cabinet. You know, people in the deep sort of minus territory: Boris Johnson -21, Paul Matt Hancock -20, Gavin Williamson right down to -32. The only member of the cabinet in positive territory is Rishi Sunak, and he's on a towering +40. So he certainly is very popular. And that also reaches across to Labour voters as well. He's got a net rating of +11 with Labour voters, which, you know, for a Conservative politician in quite a sort of partisan environment is obviously pretty impressive. The other thing is in focus groups is how people talk about Rishi Sunak. Now, often, you know, when politicians are doing well, people tend to say they're quite competent, you know, they're good at getting on with the job. Rishi Sunak gets that, but he also gets something else, which is a much rarer thing for a politician to find, which is this sense of he's not like a normal MP. He's more like one of us. He's on our side. These are more values-laden judgments, and they mean a lot more in politics because, you know, they are going to be that really is the kind of thing that voters are looking for. Now, what's the dangerous part? Well, actually, I'm not convinced that, you know, just the, you know, the narrative around, you know, him having to put up tax or him having to make tough decisions, that's not necessarily going to be bad for his popularity. I mean, we saw with George Osborne, you know, some of the budgets and autumn statements that George Osborne delivered were actually the toughest ones are actually the ones that the public warmed to the most. The problem, I think, will be that very issue I just identified about values. you know, if there is a move he makes, a fiscal decision he makes, a tax rise that seems unfair to voters and undermines that sense that he's on their side, then I think that could really, really undo his reputation in a heartbeat. So I think it's less the sort of toughness of the measures that's going to be dangerous for him. It's more the perceived fairness that's really going to be the struggle for Rishi Sunak. If any of his tax measures are seen as hitting hardworking people more than the rich, or being seen as, you know, hitting white van man, or being seen as unfair.
Katie, that's really interesting, because Rishi Sunak's background isn't necessarily a man of the people. You know, he was educated at a public school, and you identify in your column that he's got the opposite situation to David Cameron in terms of how the public see him and how the Conservative Party see him.
Yes, I think what's interesting about Rishi Sunak is that at the moment, to me, it feels at least that he's in quite a sweet spot. You have a situation where, as James says, he has the positive ratings, of most positive ratings, or the only positive ratings of anyone in Boris Johnson's cabinet. And he also has a form of popularity with Labour voters. I get the sense that lots of people look at Rishi Sunak, members of the public, and they think, oh, he's not your typical Tory. You know, he's a bit different. They probably think he's a bit kinder than the stereotype of a Tory. That seems to be the general view. Often, you know, people say, oh, he's working really hard. You know, he has a best interest. So he seemed as a different type of Tory. But Tory MPs very much believe that he is one of their own and he is a true blue. I think that they feel they have plenty in common with Rishi Sunak in terms of philosophy, in terms of spending, in terms of conservative principles. So if you think about, and we are so far away from this, but if you think about, you know, a Tory leadership contest where you need to have all your parliamentary support and the membership, but then also having that widespread appeal with the electorate, that is a powerful combination, I think, what he has. I think that if you look at the details, I mean, I think you can get into middle class and various parts of the UK class system, but he did obviously attend a private school at Winchester College. He also, you know, worked in finance. So, and David Cameron was an old Etonian. But yeah, I think when people looked at David Cameron, they just felt like he was a typical posh Tory. Incidentally, even when he did lots of things that for his party was a bit too soft for them, perhaps just, you know, going to coalition with Lib Dems, you know, things like that. But I think, you know, the way that he is immediately seen is quite different and potentially quite lucrative for him.
James, how much of a potential pitfall is Rishi Sunak's views on the coronavirus lockdown? We've heard rumours that he's one of the so-called hawks in cabinet, in that he doesn't want more restrictions to come in, he wants to look after the economy more. But does that create a gap between him and public opinion? Because we've seen repeated polls saying public opinion wants there to be stricter rules on coronavirus.
Yeah, potentially. I think that gets to Katie's point there, that, you know, this is the sort of tension, right? Like, a lot of the MPs are feeling like he's, you know, batting on their side on the COVID debate. That's obviously not quite where the public are. I think the thing that will probably help Rishi Sunak there is that I don't think it's cutting through to the public that's the view or position that he's taking. I think they sort of just generally think he's doing a pretty good job, and, you know, they don't necessarily really see this as that sort of stretch. They don't really see that level of sort of, you know, Westminster positioning. What I would say is that the situation on the economy and health is changing. So, you know, when we look back at the polls in March or April, the public wanted the government to prioritise health, you know, by a huge margin. In a poll that I ran with Keck CNC, it was about 74% to 13%, you know, massive margins wanting the health prioritised. Now, we've ran that poll every month since, and this month in September, just a few days ago, that's now down to 53%. Saying health and 28% on the economy. So that gap is still, you know, the health is still in the lead, but that gap has halved. So, you know, that economy position, if it does start to become, I don't think it is now, but if it does start to become with the public a bit more of a political battle that they start noticing, then, you know, this is no longer the super niche perspective it was back in April. It has got about a third of the public. And the most interesting thing about that poll is that with Conservative voters, it's a total dead heat. It's around 40% each for the economy and health. So, you know, Rishi Sunak may have a bit more of a base in the public for that position than the first look might seem to suggest.
And Katie, obviously we're talking in hypotheticals here because number 10, there is no vacancy at the moment. But throughout the summer, we've talked about the government's party management problem, especially during a time of lockdown when MPs are not in Westminster. But Rishi Sunak seems to have kept in good contact with backbench MPs. Sometimes it was him meeting the 1922 committee rather than the Prime Minister. So do you think he's a cannier operator in general at the parliamentary party?
So the 1920 always has a mix of speakers, but I think it's definitely fair to say that Rishi Sunak has been praised by MPs for having a bit more reach out. I think that when it comes to when they want to float policies, I think that there is an effort to speak to MPs. There's also an effort to get ideas from MPs. And I think even this week, for example, I think Rishi Sunak was meeting with members of like the 29 intake, Blue Barricade, Red Wall, whatever you want to call it, to kind of listen to what they're worried about and their concerns. And I think that's something that often was held number 10 are not doing enough of that. Now, I think the hard thing for number 10 is that, and this is why you've got probably this like-for-like comparisons between what a Chancellor and his team do and what a Prime Minister and his team do aren't completely fair, because I think that it is easy to see the function of meeting with the Treasury team and the reach out there. Whereas sometimes with number 10, if anything, it's because number 10 are in charge of so much, they don't quite know what they need to go and speak about with people. So I think the Treasury can lend itself there a bit. But I do think, for example, like Rishi Sunak's PPSs, so the MPs who ultimately are glorified bag carrier might be unfair, but like the ones who are openly reaching out to the parliamentary party on behalf of their Secretary of State, they've been widely praised for doing that well. So I think that in terms of his manner of MPs, it works well. I do think that if we're going to talk about Rishi Sunak and what makes him unique, I mean, the thing at the moment is his Twitter graphics and all these banners that go out. But
very swanky.
And I do think they are a source of envy amongst some MPs. But also, I actually, if we're going to go into anything that I think occasionally grates MPs, I think that almost brand Rishi is sometimes seen as, I don't know if it's too successful or you know, maybe it's got too big. But for example, I understand that this week on the Tory MP WhatsApp group, obviously they're putting out, you know, things to share on what's in the winter statement. I think one MP said, you know, can we have anything that's just Conservative branded, not Rishi? I don't know if it was forthcoming or not, but I think it touches it. So while I think the MP reach out is good and people are very supportive, I think if anything, perhaps the success of the brand might lead to a little bit of snide.
Well, just to come in on that, Katie, I think, you know, taking my very clearly scientific polling hat off and putting my, you know, former SPAD Westminster hat on, you know, from conversations I've had, I think, you know, one of the bigger risks for Rishi is if, you know, over the next couple of years, you know, this government really does crash and burn reputationally, and you know these issues still keep coming out, and you know the response to the pandemic worsens and the economy is a real issue, and you know the Conservatives are, you know, double digits behind in the polls. I don't think that's a likely situation, but it's very possible. You know, I think almost the biggest risk for Rishi is if, you know, MPs start looking for someone completely new who's not been involved, who's not been in the cabinet at a high level. And that's certainly a conversation I've had with a few people over the last week or so.
And James, keeping that pollster hat off and putting on your SPAD hat, I mean, as someone who's been in Downing Street and left, what do you think Downing Street will be thinking about all of this? I mean, rumours of a rift between Chancellor and Prime Minister or competition there are not new to any pair of Chancellors and Prime Ministers. Do you think Boris Johnson is now thinking a bit more about Rishi Sunak as a political competitor?
You know, maybe Boris Johnson is. I think actually the number 10 operation and number 11 operation, we have to remember, are still working pretty closely. I mean, yes, you know, Rishi clearly does have very good people on his team, but, you know, there is still, you know, this joint unit, you know, the very reason Sajid Javid resigned back in February. So, you know, they are sort of working closely. I think that a lot of senior people in number 10 still, you know, they feel like Rishi Sunak very much shares their objectives and very much shares the sort of their view of, you know, what's needed in terms of levelling up and civil service reform and economic reform. So I expect that these sort of, you know, these sort of poll results, although they probably should worry Boris Johnson to some level, I expect actually the number 10 operation is a bit more relaxed than some of us might sometimes sound.
James and Katie, thanks very much.